Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, who has given thy servants many gifts, give us the gift of discernment, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 12:10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. And in the middle, to another, discerning of spirits. Now, we looked at this. I just want to say this about it. When Paul tackles the gifts, he doesn't do it as a quarrel between Pentecostalists and Charismatics and the rest. What he does is he bases the whole thing on the Trinity. Now, I want you to look at that because it's very important. You see, look at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. 5. That's the Holy Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. That's the same Lord as is spoken about in verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God, which worketh all in all. The basis of discernment, the very bottom line, is that God is a discerning God. When a person is born again, they discover something. And it's been going ever since the New Testament and far before. The Greeks thought of life as a circle. And you will see that when you listen to people in the world, they think of life as a circle of days where you go to work on Monday and you go through the week and you go, and the whole of life is circular. And they are wandering aimlessly. What Paul laid before them was a straight line. So when he stood up before the philosophers in Athens, he said, life goes straight ahead and all the good things God has given to us until God has prepared a man to judge the world, Christ Jesus. And life goes straight up to a point of judgment. Now, that was an absolute eye-opener to the world. We, you see, as Christians, are living a purposeful life in a straight line. They are living a bent round and round life of unpurposefulness. That's where laziness, that's where our industry has gone, that's where our morality has gone, that's where everything in the nation has gone. This circular thing. Now, when Paul comes to speak about the Holy Spirit then, giving us gifts, he shows what gifts we get in order to keep that straight line in life. Now, the gift of discernment is absolutely vital. I never fail to think of that verse, the last verse in Jonah, where it says there were 600,000, says the Lord, who did not discern their right hand from their left. So the world, the Bible says, is without discernment. It hasn't got this gift. When I hear the government ministers bring forward a new one of their bills, I think in myself, I know, because God gives me discernment into human nature, that human nature will soon twist that and make it just as bad or worse as it was before. Because that's the way we are. Now, we have discernment. You can discern more than all your teachers. Now, they have discernment, but they won't use it. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, he said, you read the signs of the weather, and our weathermen are very, very good at it, but when it comes to the signs of the times, you don't discern them whatsoever. Meaning that the signs of the time is that the Lord Jesus came. Now you and I do discern the signs of the times. Therefore the gift of discernment is yours. Now don't imagine that the gift of discernment only goes to certain people. Because Jesus said, beware of false prophets. He says it in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 15, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He expected every last blood-bought follower of his to be able to recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing. He had no doubt that you could discern. Now this word discern means look at the bottom of a matter. Look through a matter till you see it thoroughly. Look into the truth of a matter so that you've understood it from top to bottom. And I believe people who are Christians, like us, very ordinary people, not very specially brainy or anything, can see far deeper than brainy people into problems because we have the gift of discernment. Jesus is quite clear that every Christian has it. And here we have it as the gift of gifts. You see, the rest of the gifts are wrong unless you have discernment with them. Why is that so? Well, God is a guide. This God will be our guide even unto death. There is a way that the Lord has set up, that the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. When ye turn to the right or to the left, it says, ye shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You and I have the wonderful advantage that God, the shepherd, who knows the end from the beginning, is leading us. And again and again and again, I have to face the fact that God guides like that. I can't tell you why, but tons of times in my life I found God has overruled my plans to guide. So then this God is a wonderful guide. Now the Lord Jesus is also a guide. It's very clear in the Bible that he was sent to guide us as the good shepherd. And he says so. So God is the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd in Psalm 23, and Jesus is the shepherd in John chapter 10. If you look in John 10 and in the third verse, he says, he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So Jesus is the shepherd, God's shepherd, to lead you and me. He's called the captain of our salvation. Now the reason he is he discerns. And if you need any gift, don't worry about the gifts that the others. Pray for discernment. This is the most important. You see, it says very soon there in chapter 14, that the in verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge or discern. So this is specially a gift needed for church leadership. No one can lead a church without this leadership. Now, it's a very wonderful thing to have this discernment, and something that comes direct from God, and we need to pray for. You see, God sent his Son to discern. Look at John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. John 16, verses 13 and 14. And it says this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So the Lord Jesus is still teaching, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So all that's happening in the world, we are being shown by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to warn you, having the gift of discernment won't make you popular, especially in the short run. I may have told you this before, I often tell the stories because they're true ones, time after time. But when we came back from India before the war, and we went into a little church in Berrinaba in North Devon, there was an old man called Mr. Churchill, who was a real gospel preacher. And I can remember the farmers standing there in their leggings, and the church crammed with people. And he was a godly man, and he spoke well. The people got tired of him, because he was a very old man, and they didn't like him, and they got him out. And they got instead a very young and very handsome Canadian, and they were delighted. They had the clergyman of their dreams. He would allow them with strives, he would allow them everything they wanted. He was very simpering in his ways, even as a child, I thought that. My mother listened to him once, and she said to my aunts with whom we were staying, "That man will never do this church any good." They were furious with her. They said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "People will get like that with you." Well, within 12 months, the church was so weak and so empty that it couldn't even support a whist drive. And it was just at its last legs. It was hopeless. He hadn't got the gospel and he didn't know what he was talking about. Now, discernment makes you very unpopular, because people say, "Who are you to judge? And anyhow, you can't show me that. You're just making it up out of your own mind, and you've got a nasty judgmental spirit." But you need that if you're going to get through the Christian life. You will not get through by judging everything by its face value, and you certainly won't get through by being popular. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift to have, but it's certainly not a popular one. So when you think about this gift, think of it as something that's very unpopular. But not always. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 23, and you'll see where it really gets you. Proverbs 28:23. And it's very, very plain what happens. It says, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favour than he that flattereth with his tongue." So what it is this: if you'll speak the plain truth in love, really in love, not just saying that in order to get off, well then, you will find that in the end you get favour from people and not dislike. And it's worth having this gift. This is the gift that will give you the weight and impetus needed to lead a work or to help others. Now, there's more than that in this. Paul is drawing this attention to the necessity of this gift. You see, one of the people in this Corinthian church in chapter 12 in verse 3 had called Jesus accursed in a meeting. Now, he said that curse Jesus. That's what he said in the middle of the meeting. And all the others let him off with it. And what Paul is saying is, you who are spiritual ought to have judged this matter. You ought to have discerned what he was at. One of you who had the gift of discernment ought to have said, "Wait a minute, you can't say that in this meeting. That's blasphemous. Out you go, or you withdraw it." He couldn't go on like that. But instead, they all went down the popular road and didn't oppose the man. Now, what was behind that remark was something very simple. In the early church, they were much troubled and plagued by a heresy. And the heresy said that God is good, the world is evil, God cannot touch the world, therefore he sent out eons, lumps of himself, if you like, down like this, and the last of them was Jesus. Now, the Christ, who was the eon, descended on Jesus, who was a man, at his baptism, and said the heresy, was withdrawn from him when he was at the cross. So then, you could safely say Jesus is accursed, he was simply a man, whilst the Christ was blessed. That's what behind this remark. It's a horrible thing. But you see, nobody rebuked the man. And that heresy got into the church, and I'll tell you, it cost the church more trouble to get it out again during those first 250 years than it did with all the blood the martyrs shed. It was a terrible nuisance, that heresy that got in. And it went on and on and on. We find it in Colossians and other books of the New Testament that this heresy was coming in. Now, a man with discernment ought to have been able to see very clearly the spirit behind it, all that, and to have taken it up. Now, if you ask me what I mean, it's this. It's not a very comforting story, but it's again a true one. I worked with brethren missionaries in Morocco, and one of them was called Tom Frears. Tom Frears was a very plain-spoken man. He didn't like the Church of England. But he went and settled in Cumbria, in Whitehaven. And while he was there, there was a massive movement of charismatic things. And they had a huge meeting in the village where they were all praying in tongues and all interpreting and all sorts of things. And he went to the meeting and he listened. And he thought, I'll test this meeting. So he stood up in a while, it's a true story, it happened in the last 15 years, he stood up in a while and he prayed in Shilha, the mountain language of Morocco. At that point, somebody in the audience stood up and said, our brother has just said, and translated it for him into utter nonsense. Tom Frears stood up in the meeting and he said, Mr. President, to the person in charge of the meeting, you have got to stop this meeting because we've just had a lying interpretation. That isn't the interpretation of what I said. I said the Lord's Prayer and he has said something quite different. And there was confusion and the meeting broke up. Now, you won't be popular for behaving like that, but it's necessary that somebody has discernment. We don't just drift along with anything anybody says. This gift of discernment is absolutely vital. And it's wonderful to get it when it's there. Now, all God's children then have this gift. How are we to use this gift? Well, look at some of the men in the Bible who have had it or not had it. You take Jacob, when his two sons, and he loved the older one, Esau, and wanted to bless him, and the younger one, Jacob, came in as a deceiver, all dressed up in the hairy bits of the coat, underbelly of the kid and everything, and he said, the hands are the hands of Esau, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. And it says he discerned him not. And the result was a lot of trouble for Jacob. Now, he should have had discernment. He didn't have the gift of discernment. And that caused him a lot of trouble. So, ask God for this gift. I don't say God will give it to you in any miraculous way, but I do say this. You won't get far in life unless you've got discernment. And one of the big things wrong in the churches today is simply a lack of discernment. Now, next is this. It helps others. Do you remember when Joseph sent his steward after his brothers and had hidden the cup in the sack's mouth of the youngest? And the steward said to them, is not this with which my Lord discerns? Now he may have put it down to utter wrong causes, but he could see that Jacob could discern a matter. Jacob could discern a dream. So that when the dream came to Pharaoh, Jacob could look into the middle of it and see the actual meaning of the dream. Unless you have the gift of discernment, you will never be a lot of use to a church. You see, it's there that it lies, and it ended up not with his brothers being humiliated, but the only instance in the whole Bible of 10 men hardened in sin, all won back to the Lord. All changed back again. There is no other instance in the whole Bible of that happening. Joseph did a very wonderful thing that day in his discernment of things. Now, then look at Acts 5. As soon as there was the great blessing on the church we saw last week, immediately Satan raised a counterfeit. And Ananias and Sapphira kept back part of the price of the land they sold and pretended they'd given it all in order to look good. and Satan entered into their hearts. It says so. And Peter could see. Nobody told him. He saw straight away. And he said, why has it entered into your heart to lie to the Lord? He could see right now. Now, unless you can do that, like Peter could, you'll never successfully run a church. There has to be the gift of discernment. It's not just of spirits and evil spirits, that's the main part of it, but it's also of the spirits of men. You've got to be able to read men and to look at them. It's a very wonderful gift. And then again, if you look at the way that it was used, David, you remember, when he was faced with a very difficult problem, they got a woman of Tekoa, a wise woman, to come and spin him a yarn, and David saw straight through the yarn, and he said, is Joab's hand behind this, this chief general? And the woman said, you're as an angel of God to discern a matter, and all the nation knows it. David had the gift of discernment, and that is how he led a work. It's by being able to discern what men are really like underneath, without being rude to them or anything, to know what people are like. And so you can put the right person in the right job. You know, Mr. Lang, who was an earnest Christian, I've heard him speak. Once, he came with his old chauffeur and spoke at school. And I've never seen anything sweeter than him and his chauffeur walking round the garden, talking together, two lovely old Christian men talking together as they walked around. Now, Mr. Lang built the Mulberry Harbours for the D-Day landings. No other person in Britain was capable of such a feat of engineering. He built the M1. And Mr. Lang was a great engineer. He would never do wrong. Therefore, when he was 60 years old in a firm in Glasgow, he still hadn't got anywhere because nobody would employ him because he was so honest. But he suddenly broke through. God gave it to him before the war, and he was given a housing estate to build. Now, Mr. Lang had the gift of discernment. And he said he built up all that business by discerning his managers. So he always put a Christian, but the right Christian, in the job of each managerial post through the business. And that moved the business ahead. His son took over, deserted the Lord, didn't walk with the Lord, and it's a minor firm again now. It's gone. But you see, discernment is something you desperately need. You cannot get through life without it. Jesus gave you discernment, but ask for a great increase in your discernment. And covet earnestly the best gifts. And then again, you remember Elisha and Gehazi and the money and the garments, and when he healed the man of his leprosy. And the general went home again to his own country, and Gehazi thought, this is a shame that Elisha has refused all the money and all the other wonderful things he was offering, so I'll just run after the chariot quietly when nobody's looking, and I'll get some. So off he went, and he got two bags of gold and all the rest. And he came back and hid them in the bottom of a tower. And then he walked in front of his master, Elisha. And Elisha said to him, Gehazi, where have you been? And he said, I went nowhere, my lord. And he said, did not my soul go with you, my spirit, when the man turned in his chariot again? Is this a time to receive vineyards and oil yards and servants and animals? He said, the leprosy that was on Naaman shall cling to thee. And he went out of his presence a leper as white as snow. Now, you need discernment, because we're living in a deceitful age where every form of deceit is being practiced on the church, and the devil breaks up every work by getting someone in who's thoroughly deceitful. It happens, and you'll find it happens. And that's what breaks up the work of God. Now we need discernment very, very especially to be able to see and to accept. Now, we discern the condition of people's hearts. You remember that there was Simon the sorcerer. Well, Peter could discern his heart right away and told him that he was in the grip of Satan. That man, you know, according to the early Christians, did immense damage afterwards in spreading that very heresy I was telling you about. He was the major spreader of it. Now, Peter got him out from that town, and you need to be able to see into the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, you have a book here, and one of the old Puritans said this. He said, "Put me in a dungeon with a candle and a Bible, and I will tell you what all the world is doing. You have a discerning book. You have a magic book." Now, when I was in Morocco, when you went round the markets, I bought one once just to show on deputation. There were all sorts of little books on magic, mostly on how to make ladies fall in love with you and things like that. There were ridiculous little books, but they were everywhere in the markets. All this, and how to curse your enemies, and how to get at somebody who'd done you an evil turn by turning the evil spirits on them. All this stuff was in books. It's absolute rubbish. But we are given a book with true discernment and real ability to look into things. Look below the surface. Use your gift and the gift will expand. And then again, you remember Paul when he met that girl with the spirit of divination, the Pythoness, who in Philippi. Now she went in front of him for days, and she was saying something that was very, very acceptable. It's in Acts 16. What she was saying was, "These men are servants of the Most High God." Well, Paul walked over and rebuked the spirit in her and drove it out. And when our masters saw that all hope of their gains were gone, they were furious and dragged Paul to the judgment seat, and a lot of trouble followed. The fact is that you have got to be able to look at the spirit behind perfectly good words. Words that are unimpeachable. Words that nobody could take exception to, and take exception to them. That's what Paul did. And that's what you're expected to do with the gift of discernment. To be able to see into the spirit of things, not just there. And then again, the gift has many uses. It's absolutely vital, if you're going to lead other people to the Lord, to be able to look into their hearts. Again, I can't tell you how often it's happened, but it's happened very, very often indeed. In the Great Revival in 1859, I've been looking at it and reading about it. Up in Newcastle, there was an evangelist called Mr. Hook, and he was preaching. And his preaching really got at people. They were having 200 people a day in the churches converted. The thing was going ahead like wildfire. And an old man, came to see Mr. Hook privately, and he said, "I hate you." He said, "Your words, I can't get them out of my mind when I'm in bed, I can't get them out of my mind when I'm awake, and I don't know what to do, I'm just lost with the words." He said, "What shall I do?" And he cried out again, "What shall I do?" And Mr. Hook spoke to him and showed him the way of salvation, and the man believed. And do you know what he did then? He pulled a weapon from his pocket and said, "I came here to kill you." He said, "That's why I came into this room." Now you see, if you can discern people's hearts so that you can help them, much good is done. You see, very shortly after that, the man's wife came. She came within the hour and was converted herself through Mr. Hook. There's a day of God's power when the people are willing, and they'll never be willing if you can't read their hearts. You've got to read hearts. You've got to do it if you're going to lead people to the Lord. I still think of going to the rink in Derby, where there was one of our great preachers preaching, I cannot remember his name, and as he started to preach, I'd taken several unconverted people from the church I was in. We packed the car with them. And as we went in, as he began to speak, I thought, now if I'd sat down for a year and thought most carefully how to speak to these women and boys and girls we brought, because I knew them, I couldn't have chosen better words than this man has chosen. And as he began to speak, I saw people stand up and women flounce out and men get furious and shout at him and start walking out of the place, because he could discern their hearts. Straight away, as he opened his mouth, everybody knew that he was looking right into your heart. And that's what you need if you're going to be any use to God in evangelism. There is the Holy Spirit given with the power of discernment. And then again, there are other areas you need it. There, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great example, and that's a much more powerful example than all these. When faced with Nicodemus, he knew what was in men. He needed not that any told him what was in men. So he spoke straight to the old man's heart. He must be born again. And that touched a chord. And when he got with the woman of Samaria, he spoke straight to her heart. He cut away all the edges. She was desperately trying to cling on to religion. And he drew her back and back to himself. She got to make a decision about him. And that's where it is. If you can do that, you will increase your usefulness to God absolutely enormously, to be able to do it. Now, there is a misuse of this thing, and that is to gossip about other people's troubles, and it is to hurt other people by the way you use it, and not use it in love. But if you use it in love, there is the most wonderful, wonderful gift, which is yours. Amen.